If you would not take your Bibles and go with me to the book of John, chapter number 14. John, chapter number 14, a very famous passage of Scripture, a passage I love very dearly. Something I hope will be a help to you tonight as we read together God's Word. We'll read the majority of John, chapter number 14, and there's a theme here that I want you to see and pray the Lord will use it to encourage you. The Bible says in John, chapter 14, in verse number 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how could we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Look at verse number 13. Jesus continues speaking to the same group of people, his disciples. He says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him and will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now, John chapter 14 is a wonderful passage of Scripture, as all of them are, considering they're inspired by God and perfect. But when we look at John chapter 14, it is a very appropriate passage of Scripture in light of current events. Jesus speaking to his disciples in compassion and love, understanding that it wouldn't be long until he was crucified. That it wouldn't be long until mobs of angry people would take him and crucify him. It wouldn't be long until the church would suffer great, difficult persecution. It wouldn't be long until there would be uproars in society all around. And Jesus, having a perfect understanding of this and a perfect understanding of every detail and of every trouble that his people would go through, he says something that I find important. The Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 14, the book of John, "Let not your heart be troubled." And near the end of the same chapter, verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There's a message from heaven in John chapter 14 for all of God's people, irregardless of the circumstances of life, and the message is this: let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He says in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And in this passage of Scripture, I won't even begin to scratch the surface, but there's some things in this passage of Scripture that give us great peace and some truths about our Savior that can give us comfort and cause us to be free of a troubled heart. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You know, I tell people if someone says to calm down, I say, tell me why. If someone says, don't be troubled, I say, well, tell me why. Are you one of those people, a why person? I had cousins, little cousins growing up, and they got in a habit for a time. Everything you said, no matter what you said to them, they'd look at you and say, cause. They don't know why, because, why. They say, cause. No matter what you say, cause, cause, cause. They get on my nerves a little bit. But I've become them. Because I don't want to just calm down because somebody said to calm down. But I will calm down if God says, here's some good reasons. The main reason, and it's found in this passage of Scripture, the main reason is the promise that God has already fulfilled, and it's the fact that Jesus was followed by the Comforter. Look what the Bible says in verse 16. Jesus says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. In verse 18, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. In verse 26, he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Guess what? The Comforter has come. Oh, spread the tidings round. Wherever man is found, the Comforter's come. The Holy Spirit of God is ever present with us all. We have the Comforter. We continually live in the presence of God. Aren't you glad of that? Hallelujah. Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus looks at his disciples. He says, look, don't be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to send the Comforter. I will not leave you comfortless. I love the word comforter. I don't know about you, but that thick blanket that we have on top of our bed, I call it a comforter. How many of you call it a comforter? It's been that way since I was just a little boy. It's a comforter. And I understood, and I began to understand why you call it a comforter as just a little boy. I remember as a child, I was afraid of the dark. As a matter of fact, I'm still afraid of the dark. Don't laugh at me, you are too. And I remember as a child, I'd be laying in my bed and I'd be scared to death of a monster in the closet or something under my bed. And I'd have a comforter on my bed, and I found out something. As long as I kept the comforter on me and had myself well covered, it just seemed to help a little bit, doesn't it? I remember sometimes being scared and pulling my comforter up so far on my face that I didn't cover my toes. Man, that's a scary moment right there. You shuffle, try to get your feet covered back up because you know at any moment a monster is going to grab around and get your toes on the end of the bed, you know? The comforter. Now, I had a comforter on my bed, but I'll tell you where the real comforter for a child lived. She was just down the hall. I called her Mom. She wasn't bigger than nothing, but I'd be scared and laying in my bed in my room, and I remember I could call out and say, hey, Mom. You know what she'd do? She'd leave her room. She'd walk into my room, and just as soon as she walked through the door, all the fear went away. Why? The comforter came. Well, the comforter, she was there all along. I mean, she was within voice shot anyway. What was the difference? The difference was I became keenly aware that the Comforter was present. Now, folks, We spend a lot of time with our hearts troubled because we forget that Jesus long ago gave us what we need. The Comforter's come and He's present. And Jesus looks at you and He speaks to you and He says, let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. I will not leave you comfortless. Isn't it great to know that we live in the presence of God? Oh, we have a Comforter. We have a Comforter. God is with us. Oh, I'm so thankful. Let me show you some things in this passage of Scripture that bring us comfort and give us reason to not be troubled. The first thing I want to bring your attention is found in verse number 2. We don't have to have our hearts troubled because God has promised heaven. The Bible says in verse number 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, the first thing we think about tonight is heaven. Heaven is as real. Is that door closed? Both of them? Okay, we're good. Heaven is as real as earth. I'm going to heaven just as sure as I went to Athens, Tennessee last night. It's real. Now, folks, heaven is real. Now, we make preparations and we make plans for our travels because we know we're going to real places. And God has said to you, He wants us to be reminded that when you begin to get troubled in your heart about the condition of society, about the circumstance of life, He says, don't forget something. My Father's house are many mansions. Heaven's real. Heaven's real. Now, we need to keep this in perspective. And this is something I've been saying and repeating over and over again. I don't mind at all because it's something that's very important. You may live a long life, but I'll have you know something. The longest life you could possibly live is only a drop in the bucket to the eternity that we'll spend in the presence of God in the glory of heaven. And so when we get so burned up with the difficulties of life, don't forget life is short and eternity is long. And this light affliction for a little time, it produces a great reward and glory. God's promised heaven. God's promised heaven. And heaven will be sweet. Heaven will be real. Look, let not your heart be troubled. The earth is not all there is. This life is not all we have. We have all of eternity. And I'm thankful for that. In my Father's house, let not your heart be troubled. God has promised to give us heaven. Look at the Bible says in verse number 3. Let not your heart be troubled. God has promised to come again. The Bible says in verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Guess what? Jesus is coming again. It could happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Everything is set. The table is prepared. The next page in God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. If I were to deny that, I would be denying God's word. The Bible says the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. Dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be called up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. We'll hear a shout. The graves will bust open. The dead in Christ will rise first. We won't see Him. It's not the visible return of Christ. It's the rapture of the church. But we'll meet Him in the clouds. And the Bible says that the rapture of the church, when we meet Him in the clouds, we'll forever be with the Lord. I'll just tell you something. If the rapture takes place right now, we'll always be with Jesus. And anytime you're right with Jesus, you have nothing to worry about. It's going to be sweet. Look, Jesus could come again today. I love thinking about this. And I'm still very young, but the older I get, the more people I have in heaven, the more I look forward to going there someday. one of my dear friends was killed in a car accident when just before Ruth and I were to be married. He and a group of Crown College students, and his father and I are dear friends. I love him very much, Mike Brown. I was talking to Mike one day, and he just brought up, his heart was heavy, as it often is, I'm sure, the loss of his son. He said, "You know, Cody, since Aaron's gone to heaven, the rapture and the return of Christ has an extra sweetness to me." I said, "Really? Tell me." He said, "I wake up every morning thinking that if Jesus were to come back today, I could see the Lord and I could see Aaron." You know, it's sweet to know that this world's not all there is. And Jesus has prepared a place for us. And every last one of us could be there today if the Lord decides to return. But if he doesn't, you see, at this moment, it's a fact that God has chosen not to rapture us yet. It's a fact that God has chosen not to take you to heaven yet. So with that in mind, how do we deal with life? I'll tell you. He says eternity is something to look forward to, and it's something that's real. He said, but let not your heart be troubled. Here's some other things to think about. The third thing is this: he promises to answer our prayers. The Bible says in verse 13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Guess what? God hears and answers our prayers. Now look, we're never alone. You get to a place in life where your heart's troubled. God's response to that is, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I'm hearing and answering your prayers. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he has one main purpose. Now that he's paid for our redemption, he says, I ever live to make intercession for you. You and I have direct access to the throne of God right now. And I'll just have you know something. When you need him the most, he'll be real. You can anchor your soul in the Lord, and we can pray and know that God hears and answers our prayers. You pray in his will, he answers your prayer. You pray in his will, he answers your prayer. I heard a song one time, I thank God for unanswered prayers. There's no unanswered prayers. God answers them. He doesn't always answer them the way we want him to, but he answers them. He's faithful. He's faithful. He says, let not your heart be troubled. I promise that I hear and answer your prayers. He's working on our behalf. Look at the next thing. Let not your heart be troubled. God promises his presence. What the Bible says in verse 17. It says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I like that. He shall be in you. We look here and we understand that the Holy Spirit of God indwells the believer. Hey, that's amazing. I have Christ in my heart. I have the Holy Ghost of God dwelling in my heart. How many of you ever have these thoughts? You think, man, I'd just like to go on to heaven. Guess what? That's not God's will yet. So you know what God does for us? We say, man, I'd like to go to heaven. It's not time yet. So you know what God does? Until we get to go to heaven, God sends heaven to us. And he lets the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost of God dwells in us. Christ in our hearts. Look, you're never alone. And every trouble that you ever face, every burden you ever bear, anything that your heart is troubled about, what might happen, I want to tell you something. The Holy Ghost that dwells inside of you, that controls the grace valve and the peace valve and the satisfied valve and the happy valve of your soul. The Holy Ghost of God that indwells you, guess what? He's going to be there. When you need Him, He's going to be there. I've thought often in the last couple of days, it's unusual. There was a little lady. We know her as Lady Jane Grey. I don't know if you've ever heard the story of Lady Jane Grey. I'll do a terrible job telling it, but I'm going to tell it the best I know how. Lady Jane Grey was a Christian. She became the queen of a European nation. I want to say England. I'm not going to say it because I don't know that for sure. Little Lady Jane Grey became the queen as a result of a number of circumstances and would be allowed to continue as the queen if she would recant her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. The courage that this young girl had is something I can't even imagine. She would not renounce her faith in Christ. Jesus had changed her life. She'd been truly born again and had a relationship with the Lord Jesus. It wasn't something emotional. It wasn't something that was just rooted in her traditions, but Jesus Christ had changed her life. She would not recant her faith. There were a couple political moves that took place, and if I'm not mistaken, after 9 days of being the queen, someone else took control and took the throne. She would not renounce her faith in Christ, and her noble head was chopped off of her noble body. And I look at that situation, I think, Lord, why? And I don't know all the whys. Something that's just been real in my heart the last few days. I've thought often about Lady Jane Grey. You know what happened to Lady Jane Grey? She laid herself down on an executioner's block. You know what happened? I can guarantee you this. Christ in her heart. The grief that we could only imagine in a moment like that was something that she didn't experience. Because she was met there with a flood of grace and the promises of God and the peace of God and joy that only heaven could explain. 1 second she experienced the remarkable grace of God, and the next second she breathed celestial air in the presence of her Savior. I don't wish that on any Christian. But I think about her, and I think about all of our lives. And I think, when we consider the fact that Christ indwells us, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is with us, and God's grace is always going to be sufficient. Irregardless to the trial, God's grace is going to be sufficient. You can be sure of it. You've not experienced it yet, but you can be certain it's going to be real. With that in mind, we can rest and honor the Lord when He commands us, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. God promises His presence. He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Bible says, verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. He says, let not your heart be troubled. I promise you everlasting life. Everlasting. How long is that? Forever. Hallelujah. We can't even begin to fathom everlasting life. Sometimes I think about heaven. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people who've given us the wrong idea about what heaven looks like. Eternal life is not floating on a cloud playing a harp. That bores me to stitches just thinking about it. I don't want to float around in a cloud and play a harp. I don't even like to play harps. I will tell you this. I look around and see this earth and life and my family and my friends and the joys of life, and I think, wow, this world's pretty awesome. God's been awful good to us. In a sin-cursed world, God has still, in mercy and love, given us so many joys, hasn't He? Oh, man. By the way, love life. Live life to the fullest. But if you'll be a Christian and you'll live righteously and honor God and obey His Word, you'll really be able to enjoy life. It's awesome. I love it. I love life. But you just imagine if God extended His mercy and love to give us something in a sin-cursed world that's so wonderful to enjoy, just imagine what He's got in store for us in heaven. I've heard it's unfathomable. God's got something wonderful, and heaven's real, and heaven's forever. So, don't feel so sorry for a Lady Jane Grey. She left a sweet place. She went to heaven. And God looked at His disciples. He said, now look, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be tough. Jesus Christ gave a big amen to what the Old Testament writer said, man is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He said, amen. He said, but heaven is real. Eternity is long. Because I live, ye shall live also. Hey, man, it's wonderful. James Gray said this. He said, who can mind the journey when the road leads home? And we're on a journey, and it has its burdens. It has its joys. Oh, it's sweet to serve the Lord. I wouldn't want to raise children any other time than right now. What an opportunity to raise children for the glory of God. I wouldn't want to pastor a church any other time than right now. What an opportunity. I'll just tell you, right now, this moment in history, I've never known a better time to get right with God. I've never known a better time to raise children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I've never known a better time to encourage people and point people to a hope, something that's certain and sure. Man, I like it. This moment's what we signed up for. And the Bible says, hey, look, let not your heart be troubled. The promises of God are as real today as they've ever been. The future's bright. It's going to be sweet. It's not only going to be sweet for eternity. It's going to be sweet tomorrow. It's going to be sweet tonight. It's going to be sweet the next day. Why? Because God is going to be faithful every moment of every day. He's always been. He always will be. And you know what? If you start to wring your hands faithlessly in fear of what a day may bring, just be reminded of what Jesus told us all. Hey. Hey. Let not your heart be troubled. It's going to be all right. God's going to be faithful. You can count on it. His promises are real. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. It's good. I beg of you. Honor God and His Word, and let not your heart be troubled. Let's pray.